the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Oh, I was going to keep him in the back, and I forgot. Thank you for
surprise.
The Canadian Bitcoiners podcast, Nooner, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Nooner. Sponsored by ShakePay. It's always the best place for Canadians to buy and sell, though you should never sell Bitcoin. Sign up with our promo code CBP, Charlie Beta Peter. You get the shaking sats available to you. Shake your phone every day for a couple of bucks after 200 days, up to 1,000 Satoshis, which is pretty good per day. Sats back. So if you spend out of your CAD balance, you have the chance to get your entire purchase refunded in Satoshis. And of course, the infamous promotion with an unknown end date, continuing to run in perpetuity, the Shake Paid promo where it is Shake Paid. Where you can just get the whole thing covered. Yeah, so it's really like a trifecta of ways to grow your Bitcoin stack, which you really can't beat. So definitely recommend checking them out. Great show sponsor, and if you haven't signed up with them already, it's time. So we got with us here former Luxman, current and also former Cypress Hills Partners man, Dean Linden. Dean, what's going on? Talk to us before we start about this new IKEA looking room you find yourself in this evening.
We just unveiled our new world headquarters here at Cypress Hills Partners in lovely sunny downtown Vancouver. So I was before we went to air, I was moving around. It turns out when you're doing a podcast, it's hard not to be caught by some of the lights in here. So I hope that I'm perfectly lit because you brought me on without keeping me in the green room and introducing me. I've just freshly got out of hair and makeup, so I'm lit, I'm made up, I'm good. So
before we go any further, though, you're in Vancouver, you said, over here in the chilly GTA. Tomorrow is going to be high of 4. I love global warming. It's going to be May next month.
Yeah. You know, it's.
I love global warming. Just bring it on, man.
It hasn't been a barrel of monkeys out here on the West Coast either, but it's not -4. So.
No. It's going to be +4. Sorry.
+4. Whatever. Yeah.
Same thing. It's still 4 degrees. It's garbage for the end of. Yeah. Next
okay,
week
so
May,
are we going to talk? Maybe we talk about something else besides
no, the weather. Dean, I'm still pissed
Dean
about that.
Dean talked about how lit he is. I'm about to be lit as well, and we're about to have a lit show. So, Len, you and I don't usually bring on a guest for the Nooner. We reached out to Dean. He's generous enough with his time to come join us this evening to talk about a video that's making the rounds on Bitcoin Twitter.
Yeah,
what's the video?
They decided to share a video that they want to have us change the code and have Bitcoin change from the model of proof of work to proof of stake, because Bitcoin by itself is going to be causing the global temperature to increase 2 Celsius, which is incredible. The fact that we are responsible for that amount of heating in the globe, it's absolutely nuts. But the fact that they are saying that Ethereum, the company Ethereum, is 2,000 times more efficient. It seems like they're rubbing elbows with the people in Ethereum. Number one, like they are rubbing elbows with them. Number two, they said that Ethereum is a company. What does that tell me? Well, it's centralized. It's truly centralized. You're dealing with people that are part of a company, not a group of individuals that are spread out throughout the world, and there's no centralized entity like that is Bitcoin. Why are they doing this? I think they feel threatened. I think Bitcoin is threatening their very existence. The fiat environment which they live in is being threatened by Bitcoin. Ethereum might work well in that environment, but Bitcoin just dethrones them. And it basically lifts the veil over all our eyes, and we can see the garbage that they are trying to shill us. That is it in a nutshell.
This is an incredible video. So I sent this to Dean this afternoon. I've only watched it a couple of times, but you know, if you're on YouTube, you can see I just shared the video. I'm not going to let the sound run. It's basically just some kind of free bossa nova type music that you can get in a Microsoft PowerPoint as well to run your favorite corporate slideshow in front of. It's all the same stuff we've heard for a long time. Hey boys, what do you think? It's the
Joey Lynn, I got to say, it continues to frustrate me that, you know, when groups sort of, or people come out and they talk about the ills of Bitcoin, and they fail to sort of like seem to understand what it replaces. Because when they say that, you know, well, Bitcoin, you know, Bitcoin's power usage, you know, equals that of Portugal. You know what else uses the same amount of power or emits the most same amount of carbon emissions as Portugal? The U.S. military. Mm-hmm. So if I said, you know, hey, we're going to change. Let's change the U.S. dollar. Let's change the U.S. dollar, not the climate. Let's stop supporting the U.S. dollar with the military. Let's stop. Like, we can change that. Why wouldn't we change that? How would that fly? You think anybody would, the World Economic Forum would make a video about that? That's just one military. Now, granted, it is by far and away the largest military in the world, the U.S. military. But there's also a Russian military and a Ukraine military, which we're becoming increasingly familiar with.
The Afghans.
Yeah. And arguably, if you let this Bitcoin thing play out, there's some very smart people that make really wonderful arguments that you really have no reason to have militaries. That, you know, in fact, the Bitcoin network is a, you know, is a defensive weapon system. So, like, it really feels kind of disingenuous that that this group is producing this video. It's even weirder, I think, that a crypto guy from Ripple is kind of funding this thing. I mean, it's kind of weird, and I think it's I think it's incumbent, and I've said to you guys before, I think one of the things that I get kind of passionate about is to play a small part in, you know, evangelizing people to the benefits of Bitcoin, because I think this video does nothing for me other than illustrate how naive or diabolical maybe some people are when it comes to Bitcoin.
I think diabolical is the right word. I'll agree with you on that.
I pride myself on coming up with great words. I have a great vocabulary.
So one thing they are free to do, though, and nobody should stop them on this. In fact, we should encourage them to do this, is they are free to fork it. They are free to fork Bitcoin and make a proof of stake version of it and see who's going to support it. So that's right. Something that they should be, rather than forcing us to change it, they should release their own code and see how many people adopt it. Because the node that I run in my home, I'm not going to change it to a proof of stake system. I'm going to keep it as a proof of work system. And I'm sure many other people like myself would be in the same position. So they can't force us to change our code. They should just go out there and release their own code.
I got a question on this. So when they say change the code, does that automatically mean it's proof of stake? Like, is there any sort of, or are they just kind of, are they just sort of intentionally being vague about what that is, or are we reading too much into it? I mean, because
they're saying proof of stake. They want proof of stake because that the study they cite, Dean, is one that was making the rounds. I guess, what do you think, Glenn? 2 or 3 weeks ago now, that the same study, like you mentioned, that was funded by the XRP guys for changethecode.com or whatever. They're suggesting a move to proof of stake, and so yeah, to answer your question, that we're not reading too much into it. You have to know. You have to be involved enough with Bitcoin to know that. And so that's why, you know, this morning I was getting upset because there's not a lot of people who can connect the dots, right? We can connect the dots, but if you don't know about that study, you don't know what the difference between proof of stake and proof of work are. You think, well, why don't we just do it? Bitcoin is still going to be Bitcoin. It's just going to use 99.9% less power, but that's obviously not the case. We know that. How do we share that message? I don't know. But yeah, it's very insidious. How's that for a word? You can take that one with you.
That's a good one. Yeah, I'll use that one. I'm going to use that in a sentence later on. Nice. But it does, you know, but one of the principles of having something that you can use as money is there's got to be a barrier to getting it, right? And I think that is the founders intentionally created a situation where it was, you know, because I know my experience in the Bitcoin mining business, power is difficult to come by. That's difficult to get. It's even more difficult to get it in a form that's inexpensive enough that you can actually make a profit doing it. those are things. I mean, it's the same as gold, right? Gold is the, one of the great properties of gold as being used as a currency is it's difficult and expensive to get, right? It's and you know, and there's a price to be paid for getting it. I don't really understand how you keep the principles of viable hard money and change the code. I don't really understand how they do that. Now I'm open to hearing how they intend on doing it, but it's certainly not proof of stake, you know, where, you know, we can print rubles or Canadian dollars or yen or whatever it is and do a 51% attack on the network. I mean, you know, those are all things that are hallmarks of the Bitcoin technology and the Bitcoin network. You begin to change that, I don't even know what you have. I don't really know what you have. It's a head scratcher to me.
No, I'm with you. And you know, part of the thing I don't like, I'll pull back here on a couple of the things in the video I don't like. This word experts here, I am triggered by this word experts these days. Experts have been wrong when it comes to monetary policy and sound money principles, have been wrong on basically everything for the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. So I see that word and I think experts have found a way to cut Bitcoin's carbon footprint by 99.9%. Now, generally, when we talk about experts, you know, I leave it vague, you know, kind of capital E, they type stuff. But fortunately here, the WEF has gone out of their way to source said experts. So the experts there sorting, of course, the Change the Code campaign, the Ripple guys, as you mentioned. So, I mean, right there, we can see that there's a lot of slant. Dean, to your point, you know, uses more electricity than Denmark. Incredible. My new favorite line from, I think it was Troy Cross or Nick Carter, I forget who now, but until the WEF decides that they're setting their crosshairs on the Pornhub data centers, I don't want to hear a thing about Bitcoin's power usage or Bitcoin's electricity usage or any of that stuff. I don't want to hear it because no matter what you think about Bitcoin, there is no case to be made that Pornhub is somehow better for society than Bitcoin is. There is no case to be made for that. So yeah. Right away, I would say that's too much for me. This kind of stuff really drives me up the wall. We've seen this study a bunch, this Nature Climate Change study about the Bitcoin network pushing global warming up above 2 degrees. I'll remind you guys that back in 2018 or 19, the WEF released a similar report that said Bitcoin would use all the world's power by 2020, all of it, every drop of power by 2020. Now, yeah. Although I did have a power outage about 20 minutes ago, my power is on now. It looks like your power is on, Dean. You're lit. You look good. Len, you got lights on over there.
Oh, yeah. The lights are gone, yeah.
Everyone's got power, okay? So that's another one the experts were off of. We can keep going here, okay? Yeah. This stuff about verifying transactions, this is not really true, right? We're not using power to verify transactions. The way they should phrase that is we're using power to ensure that the network is secure and that demand cannot pull forward supply, right? This is really the key thing about monetization of goods and utilities, that if you can pull forward supply, then you have what's called, you have too much elasticity in the supply. So with gold, for example, if gold goes up in price, you can mine more gold. But to your point, it's hard. It takes time. It takes power. It takes energy. It takes skill. All these things that mean that it's not really able to pull forward to match the demand, hence the price of gold, you know, going up or going down.
Well, you have I'd add one more thing to that.
Yeah.
You have to find it. You have to explore for it. You have to, you know, like there's a whole industry here in Canada that spends billions of dollars on just trying to find gold. So, and that is what makes it, that's what makes it what it is. These people at the World Economic Forum, they know this. It's almost like, when I visit with people that are intentionally want to keep themselves naive about Bitcoin. Oh, I don't know anything about that. Yeah, I heard this or I heard that. I imagine these guys at the World Economic Forum sitting around like a barbecue in shorts, like eating hot dogs and stuff like that. Yeah, I heard something about this. I heard it uses a lot of power. It's gonna, you know, blah 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 blah. These guys could give a rat's ass about the climate if it didn't impact, you know, how they're going to be compensated over the next, you know, 20 years. I can't believe that they, you know, Elizabeth Warren does the same type of stuff, right? Like she talks about this, like, you know, like, well, we're just gonna tax billionaires and all that sort of stuff. And don't get me wrong, I'm a little more left leaning than most of you guys. I'm wearing a pair of bamboo underwear that I just got because it's good for me. But believe me, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm a little bit more left of center than a lot of guys, or certainly left of right than a lot of guys. But I think that Bitcoin solves, you know, it solves the climate issue. It doesn't, it's going through a growth period here. But, you know, don't forget, the Bitcoin network got 9% greener last year. Mm-hmm. And I think I've said this to you guys before. If the transportation industry or the specifically airlines, if they said, hey, you know what, we got 10% greener, there would be a parade. There would be an absolute parade. And transportation is a far bigger problem with greenhouse emissions than Bitcoin is. Bitcoin is like 0.2 or something like that.
Yeah.
Transportation's like 0.1 or is 14% or something like that. Like, what are you doing? What are we talking about here? Like, why is this even a news story? We're going to talk about the Leafs. We're not going to talk about the
Leafs. And over here, I'm going commando. I'm not going to put any bamboo down there. I don't want to get a splinter on my jaw.
This is why I tell you guys all the time.
Joey, what are you sporting over there?
In the green room, listen, I always say that we don't put the cameras below the waist, okay? I only want to see your torso and up. Anything else is your business and your wife's business. It ain't mine, and it ain't the viewers and listeners, okay? That's all there is to it on this program. Before
I thought I was in the green room, I was reading through the rules of the show. I guess I shouldn't have mentioned that. I'm sorry.
No. But I got to double back. I think one thing that a proof of stake system does better than a proof of work, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think it's impervious to a 51% attack. I think that it's non-existent in a proof of stake, but it is a possibility in a proof of work. But it doesn't make it a better system. I mean, proof of stake, it really is simply more, I look at it as a UBI. You're just getting paid simply for existing. You just stake away, and those who have the most on there is the ones that are probably going to get rewarded for that. That doesn't work. And a proof of work system, you're getting rewarded for actually doing something, the output, what you do. This is life. This is nature. Like, you don't have evolution happen between animals just by simply sitting down. It's the ones that are strongest, the ones that are fastest, it's the ones that are hungriest. Those are the ones that win. That's like a proof of work type system. And they're talking just simply changing the code. I just wanted to touch base on this a little bit more in technical terms. It's not very simple to do. Look at what Ethereum is going through right now. They've been trying to go to a proof of stake system for quite some time. It's not as simple as just changing a few lines in the code. There's so much effort. There's so much trial and error you have to do even before you get to the point where you're even going to release it. I know that Ethereum, it seems like it may be vaporware, or it may turn out to be reality, the Ethereum 2.0, where it's proof of stake. But they've been doing this for a long time. If ever Bitcoin were ever going to do this, it wouldn't be a quick solution. It would take forever to get to the point where they would actually release something that's proof of work. And it's something that really wouldn't be adopted by the community. It's, we want competition. We want somebody out there that is more hungry out there to win, not just somebody getting paid for simply doing anything. And if you're talking about the power that is being used by the system, the power is being used by the system. Like, there's a lot of power being used by Bitcoin. It's because people want to mine it. Theoretically, you could mine Bitcoin and there could just be one computer on it, like a Commodore 64, and that could be enough to mine every block. But as soon as you instill some competition, a second computer, a third computer, ASICs, and so forth, then that's where the power usage skyrockets. It's because people want to mine it. They're incentivized to mine it. They get paid to do it. And not only they're getting paid today, they're getting Bitcoin today thinking that it's going to be worth more in the future. A lot of these Bitcoin miners, they're not selling. Proof of work, that's the way to go. Proof of stake, to me, it's just UBI garbage.
Glenn, I don't know if you know this, but like, this WEF says that it's easy to change just a couple lines of code, and then all I have to do is convince about 30 people. I've pulled up the key part of the video here. And so, Len, I don't know, like, should I believe you or WEF? Like, I
believe the company, because Ethereum. The Ethereum company, they're the ones that are showing us the way, because it's not as simple as just changing a few lines of coding. How much time have they put into this? And there are always delays in releasing this Ethereum 2.0, this proof of stake system.
It's and not how did you? How did they arrive at like 30 key figures in the big? Like,
are we one of them? How many? Are, is there any on this call? There's got to be at least one of us on this call, right?
Most likely the developers in the Bitcoin core, the Bitcoin community.
Yeah, that's but I mean, I think that's one. I mean, to me, I've always sort of celebrated the idea that it's completely disintermediated and that there's no. I mean, 30 key figures in the Bitcoin universe. I mean, man, that's. That's quite a statement. And I guess it, you know what, I guess it, I mean, is that include the CEO of the Bitcoin network?
Yeah, you put Craig Wright.
And the board of governors of the Bitcoin network. Like, who are those guys?
It's unbelievable stuff, man. Like, this is what I mean, okay? I get so pissed off on this show some nights, Dean, because it's like, we are constantly dealing with these like campaigns that are geared toward people who don't know any better. Even though like even a little bit of research, a tiny little bit would tell you that it's almost impossible that 30 people can change anything about Bitcoin, let alone the most key feature of the network, the verification mechanism, security mechanism, like proof of work is what makes this thing go. It's what makes this thing go. That and the difficulty adjustment. That's the whole story. That's the innovation. And these guys are pitching to, you know, the sort of the Greta Thunberg faithful that we're so close to changing it and we're, you know, trust me on this one. I know last time we outsourced our energy policy to a, you know, Scandinavian high school student, it didn't go that well, but this time, trust me, we're going to get it right. And all we have to do is convince 30 people. I would love to know, to your point, Dean, who are the 30 people? Can we get some names? Who are they?
Because most of the key figures in the Bitcoin universe would laugh at this. They would have to, or they would never have gotten to be key figures in the first place in the Bitcoin universe. Is it the guy from Ripple? Because I don't think I think if he was part of the Bitcoin, he's been expelled because he clearly is. It is one of the more head scratching things, even in a world full of head scratchers. This one really strikes me as. Is it's difficult to take seriously, quite honestly. The thing about it is the Bitcoin mining, the business of Bitcoin mining, when you know all of the other stuff that's going on and how quickly this whole network is evolving and businesses are evolving around it and the innovation that's happening and the and Bitcoin's partnership with green energy, like, you know, wind farms and solar farms and all that type of stuff. That's all I really see in my world is that this is ushering in these partnerships and making all of these green energy projects profitable and you know those performers just sing when you incorporate early on a commitment from a Bitcoin miner. I really find it disheartening that we've got what appears to be a group with an agenda trying to sort of, you know, partner with Greenpeace, and which is a bit of a stunt as well. I mean, I'm not sure what qualifies Greenpeace. Like they need to go after the militaries. If that's the case, the same argument needs to be because it plays the exact same role. The U.S. military or the militaries around the world play the exact same role as this network does, only in a much more humane, civilized, thoughtful way. And you know, to sort of glaze over one to the other, these people don't have an eye on the future. They're sort of just trying to keep everything, get their arms around it, and keep it the same. Let's just keep it the same and bury our heads in the sand.
It's 100%. Well said.
Yeah. Well said. It is true that it seems to me that there's no amount of power too great as far as spending it to maintain the status quo. But when it comes to anything that may advance or, you know, in their eyes, I assume, usurp power from them. Any expenditure is too high. Any change in climate is too great. Any hardship for the average person is just too much to bear. And we all have a responsibility to fix it instead of, you know, just letting things advance. I'd also note that, you know, when the WEF and sort of affiliated faceless three-letter, four-letter, five-letter agencies abroad and internationally talk about reducing carbon, I can assure you, sirs, and sirs and madams listening, they're not talking about their own carbon. They're talking about yours. Yeah. So
I might have missed the press release where the U.S. Department of Defense came out and said they're going to power all their tanks with a with geothermal. Biden said that, El Salvador.
Biden said that. He may have been in a fugue state. Like, I don't know if he knew what he was saying, but he did say they're going green on the military side. So yeah,
When's the last time a military partnered with a solar farm to power its drones or whatever? Right. I mean, it never happens. It's not happening and it won't happen. And it's exhausting that we've got people that call themselves, they're speaking on behalf. They've titled themselves with something that makes you believe they're speaking on behalf of the world, but really they're speaking on behalf of their own 30 experts, whoever they may be.
Spot on.
Yeah, and I'm going to use an example here of the BIP-119. Now, I don't totally understand it just yet because this is something we'll be talking about more in depth next week. But look at the controversy that's coming up just by introducing this. And this isn't as drastic a change as instituting proof of stake. And it's divisive in the community. People don't want to have it, and other people do want to have it. But still, it goes to show you that it's hard to implement anything in the Bitcoin community because you have to have consensus, and it's very difficult to do. So good luck with this proof of stake, changing the code. Like I said before, go ahead. You could fork it. You're free to do so. But my node is going to continue running the proof of work stuff, never the proof of stake stuff. So good luck to the WEF in this challenge.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Len, but if you fork that code, it's just a fork. The other code is like, you're not changing the code. You're simply forking it. Because it just continues on as it is on the original path.
It would have to be mined, and some blocks would have to be built on that new forked code. And if at that point you could then change it, but then once it's forked and you make some modifications to the code, the two chains are then different and they're not compatible. So the coins that are mined on each of them are not compatible. So that's essentially what it is. It's really not feasible. It's something that's really not feasible in a short period of time or even a long period of time without a heck of a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of time to change the code to make it to a point where it's not crashing and doesn't require constant soft forks. And it would be a mess to do proof of stake anytime in your future or even any time period, I think.
I think it's garbage. I don't pretend to be, I guess I've educated myself on this, but if I was producing a video, if I was passionate enough about something to produce a video and I was, had the intellect to be able to get on the World Economic Forum and all that sort of stuff, I know that I've got the resources to understand what is possible and what is not. And I think that to me makes me wonder so this is getting a conversation started again, I guess. But to what end? Like, I don't know really what the end game is, because this is a non-starter. This is the horses out of the barn. It's got too much traction to ever. I mean, if they knew this in 2017, that the Bitcoin network was going to use all of the power in the world. I mean, that's quite a statement. I mean, that's quite a thing. You know, and now you'd think that if you went out on a limb and you went and said that in 2017, and then you were going to go out on, you were going to say something again in 2022. If I had said that thing, I would want to rebrand myself before I said the other thing. I'd want to kind of start over, like with some sort of different name or different, because I've already lost credibility. I'm already very branded as being quite hyperbolic, and I don't think that it's sense. So I don't really know. This isn't a bid for them to gain credibility. It's something else that I can't really put my finger on.
It's partially, the proof of stake system, the way it works is akin to the fiat system we see now, where, the more you have, the more decision-making power you gain, the more you are able to amass wealth. And so the cycle repeats that use that wealth to influence and so on and so forth. And so I look at this, I look at the accompanying documents from the EU talking about how they would prefer Ethereum over Bitcoin for a number of reasons, none of which, of course, mention this mechanism that, really plays to their advantage and allows them, like you mentioned, Dean, to keep things status quo at a very low cost. because it's easy. It's much easier to ban Bitcoin than it is to compete with Bitcoin. And we see this all the time, right? We see constantly these pushes from, as you guys mentioned, a favorite of everyone here, Liz Warren, constantly pushing to have, you know, wealth taxes and things of this nature. Other politicians constantly pushing to have Bitcoin banned outright because of X, Y, and Z. The fact of the matter is, it's very difficult to compete. And so the only other way is to cancel it, right? To use the sort of parlance of the day. It's interesting stuff. I know, Len, you want to hit one more topic. Hey, we're going to extend this Nooner. We got Dean. I'm warmed up. Len is warmed up. Dean is warmed up. Let's hit one more. What else you got for us?
Well, the news that came out a couple of days ago, and it kind of sideswiped a lot of people, was the Central African Republic. They adopted Bitcoin as a currency. And there was the confirmation from Forbes Monaco. That was the first news item that broke it. That, and just kind of, we didn't get confirmation at that time that this was even a true story. But it turned out that this is actually indeed true. So they did adopt Bitcoin as a currency. The president came out today and confirmed that to be the case. But from what I understand, not everybody over there is all that happy about this. This is one of the more poorer countries in the world. They don't have a great deal of wealth accumulated in this country. The way I always envision it, Bitcoin being adopted by more countries throughout the world would be countries like this. I'm trying to be very political here. Ones that are with emerging economies, so to speak. These are the ones that are, they have the least to lose and the most to gain by adopting Bitcoin as a currency. I think this is really interesting news. I don't think it's groundbreaking by any stretch of the means. We have to wait for more countries, maybe more prominent countries, to get on board. That would be fantastic, but it's going to take some time. But everybody's talking about the neighboring country, Chad. That's the one that they're always talking about for this one. Because once that adopts Bitcoin as a currency, I think it's going to be, they could just strap a rocket.
A lot of meme potential there. A lot of meme potential. Yeah.
No Bitcoin beach, by the way, at the Central African Republic. It's a landlocked country. So No Bitcoin beach, unfortunately, there. But nonetheless, still interesting news. I'm curious to hear.
You know, I think from a lend, like, at, you know, Cypress Hills Partners, we're a debt fund, and one of the most compelling, most exciting things that I've seen since I've been in this business almost 10 years is the idea. You know, we looked at lending money into these third world nations, into Africa, India, different places, and you know, microloans, like things like, you know, $20 a week, but you're deploying tens of millions of dollars, $20 at a time, those platforms that can do that. And it's super, super exciting from a North American business perspective, but it's life changing over there because so many of these people have no access to credit. And, you know, the difficult, and it all, you know, some of these platforms that we looked at are amazingly efficient and are really changing people's lives. Now, from our perspective, the wrinkle always was currency. How do you hedge out your currency from U.S. dollars to whatever the Chad, whatever, or the Congo or whatever the currency might be there? Because you're up against a lot of very dynamic situations. So, you know, the idea that this country is adopting that, it opens itself up to, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of credit being unlocked in that country, which, you know, as you know, it's well documented when some of these groups get access to credit, it literally changes overnight their economies. And Bitcoin is a big answer to that. You're not hedging anything and you're not dealing with local banks that can be nationalized or can be, you know, closed up. So, this is a big deal. I mean, this is rolling out just as it should, and it to me, it demonstrates more than anything the power of this technology. And again, going back to the you know, the World Economic Forum, they're not talking about the world. They're talking about whatever they're doing in Switzerland or whatever they're doing in New York, but they're not talking about the world because they couldn't give a shit less about Africa, obviously. And this is important stuff.
So, okay, Dean, this is a new angle for us. What is the process for you know, for Cypress Hills, if you're doing micro loans, what exactly are you doing to hedge your currency risk? And how would it look in your eyes to use Bitcoin instead? Because this is big.
Well, for now, the short answer, Joey, is we don't, because we wouldn't, because we can't, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you use, you know, we looked at, we couldn't charge enough interest to cover the risk of, you know, a coup or a, you know, what all the, you know, some power change or some, you know, some bank being closed down or some civil war or something like that. You know, like we always talk about, Bitcoin eliminates counterparty risk because it's decentralized. So I think, you know, this blows the door wide open for a lot of these things to happen. I mean, this isn't a new idea. This is always was supposed to be the answer. This is what Bitcoin was supposed to solve. But, you know, when you talk about, it's funny that, you know, Len, you did a good job of bringing this up on the heels of the World Economic Forum and their stance on it, because they're not the World Economic Forum. They've forgotten about these places. And I think it's apropos that we're sort of linking these two stories together, because it's gross.
And to understand how forgotten they are, they use a currency called the Central African CFA franc. Never heard of this before. And
it's a French currency.
I'll get our people to work on that hedge right now, see how that's going to work. The US dollar to what? What are we hedging?
And this is actually used by a block of countries, including CAR, we just discussed them, Cameroon, Chad, Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, and Gabon. So there's a number of different countries that use it. Yep. And I took a look today at the price of the Central African CFA franc and actually took a little bit of a dive today after, I guess, this news didn't really help it out all that much. So that goes to show you that the world market doesn't support this particular currency all that much. And they forgot that part of the world and they are suffering as a result. Maybe Bitcoin is the answer for them. I'm not sure if they have the capital required to purchase enough of it to really make a difference, but this is a step in the right direction.
So, okay, do we see now France jumping into the fray here, in the anti-Bitcoin fray, in a way that the U.S. has since El Salvador, for example? It sounds like that's a French colonial product, given the name of the currency they were using before in CAF. So is it possible that those guys start to jump in? And this was a story, you know, it's been this way for a long time that France is kind of torched, raped, pillaged their African colonies over the last 100 or 200 years. And it just seems to be accelerating. This was in the news a little while ago during the election campaign over there that just wrapped up on the weekend, I believe. So, you know, this seems to be maybe in the ether in a way that it wasn't previously. Are we going to see France hop into this at the risk of opening a lot of eyes to the colonial nature of that continent? You're shaking your head, Len. Why do you say no?
No, I mean, the connection between France and CAR is pretty, it's not even dotted. If you look at what happened in El Salvador, they would have been closer to Spain because the fact they still speak Spanish. So when they adopted Bitcoin as a currency, you didn't hear a pipe, anything from Spain. It was more from the U.S. just because of the proximity and the fact the U.S. is a much more powerful nation. Maybe Germany might say something. I don't know if anybody would, because really it's a pretty small nation. Is this a beachhead to have more countries adopt Bitcoin in Africa? I think it's a potential, especially if things go well. But again, I reiterate, how much capital they have that they could actually deploy into Bitcoin? I suspect that they have a lot of, they don't have much infrastructure built up. So they have to divert what little money they have into maintaining it and maybe try to build upon it. So what could they really do with Bitcoin? How much could they really buy to really make a difference? It's a good step, but I don't know.
It's funny to hear Dean, who obviously doesn't listen to our flagship show, because he would know that the risk he's trying to hedge has a name. Dean, you're trying to hedge gold machine gun index risk. That's a term we came up with on the show. If there's a chance you may see a ruler of a country driving around in a chopped off Jeep with a gold machine gun, chances are you can't park a lot of money there. You can take that one with you as well. That's good. Bring that to your people.
I come away with such little gems, such great nuggets. I'll use that.
All on shirts. If you want to wear
yet,
them.
Not yet. Not yet.
You will never forget the slogan again once you wear the shirt. So
I think Dean, unless you want to add anything else, we'll wrap it there. Anything you want to add?
No, I think I'm I've ranted and raved, and I feel very purged.
That's good.
Like not that. Me, Joey. I have a couple hours worth of ranting left in me. Okay, gentlemen, buckle down. Let's do this.
You bug me enough already, man. I can't.
Maybe you can go back to the Wednesday green room and have a few virtual beers.
Dean, listen, we appreciate you making time for us tonight. It was short notice. You're a fan favorite of the show, favorite of ours. Tell people where they can find you, what you're all about. It's all yours.
Hit me on Twitter at RD_Linden Dean at Sea Hills Partners.
That's it. God bless everyone. Thanks for coming to our Nooner, where the bedroom gets spicier every week. Take care of yourselves.